That's Wings Radio, every Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. here on WESU 88.1 FM, Middletown.
You're listening to 88.1 FM WESU Middletown, a community service of Wesleyan University. Up next is The Business Buzz with Jeff Sherman, taking a look at innovative and cool technology and businesses right here in Connecticut. Catch The Business Buzz each and every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. as part of our Monday through Friday 4 p.m. local talk block, only on 88.1 FM WESU Middletown.
The Business Buzz on WESU is proudly sponsored in part by Carlson and Demir. Located right here in downtown Middletown, Carlson and Demir providing legal representation for victims of serious injury and for those facing criminal charges. On the web at carlsondemir.com, 860-819-1034.
And welcome to, I would say, a special edition of The Buzz. We have a mono-on-mono with Dr. Eric Lopkin. Welcome back, Dr. Lopkin.
Always good to be here.
And I believe, Dr. Lopkin, we have a lot on the plate, and we certainly invite our listeners to call in at 860-685-7700, 860-685-7700. And the first topic of discussion, and let's be honest, Eric, that there's plenty of fodder to
there
point
is.
To in terms of Trump's problems, correct?
I mean, oh, there is, yes.
Tons, right? So that could be a whole show, and rightfully so. But you're looking at the Democratic Party. Do you not see a party just drifting astray?
Yeah, the Democrats have a major messaging problem in that they don't have a coherent message anymore.
But isn't their message really multiple messages? There's not a coherent. It's more of the identity politics, fiefdoms, they're all serving individual fiefdoms without an overall message.
Yeah, there's that with the individual fiefdoms. There's, you know, well, we just have to be the anti-Trump. It's not enough.
Yeah, but
to
didn't
be
it start before Trump? I think it did with the, and it went from a liberal party to now a party that, you know, there were people like Clinton and Schumer voted for a wall, and now how did they go from that only 10 years ago, less than 10 years ago, to now open borders? Tell me how that happened, Eric.
Yeah, the entire party has shifted over. It's longer than 10 years, but over the course of time, they've really moved more and more left. And basically, all they're doing is responding. For a while.
But how did it move? Why did it move left? I think there's reasons, but I want you to address that, please.
Well, I think it started because for a while, the Republican Party was moving more and more to the right. And this was their instinct. It was just, oh, we have to be anti that, so let's move to the left. Meanwhile, the Republicans are actually getting more and more
mainstream
of the centrist. They still have a very far right section of the party, but now there's more middle America.
And more inclusive with their message.
Yes. And I think you saw this accelerate after Trump got the nomination, because they couldn't believe that Trump got the nomination.
Well, I think that, by the way, let's have our listeners call in at 860-685-7700, 685-7700. What is the state of the Democratic Party? Is the rumors of its demise highly overrated, as Twain would say? Or do you think they're in real problem, drifting astray? And also, what would you do to, if they are drifting astray, what would you do to help anchor them, to help to stop the bleeding, if you will? 860-685-7700, 685-7700. What would you do to help rectify, which, Eric, you'd have to say, even, you know, being objective, you're an objective guy, you're not an ideologue. You're 0 for 5 with a weak president or a president that's low in the polls. You've poured $25, $30 million into that election. That's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, when special elections are always easier to get
to pick up
Over an incumbent. And when you go 0 for 5, when Trump's approval ratings are as low as they are, that says that you're not getting any kind of message
and
across.
And it's beyond Trump. And the other thing that was funny, as an aside, it was funny because the media bias is actually becoming laughable on CNN. They literally, because I agree, if that election, Oxford, whatever his name is, won, it would have been going on for 2 nights, the analysis, how Trump is dead. They would have had a whole graphics with, you know, him in a noose or something, whatever. They immediately went to another item in the news after they knew he was not going to win. Immediately.
Oh, sure. When the Democrats got so close to force a runoff, and let's face it, it's not difficult to force a runoff in a special when there's 5 candidates.
I would say it's not too hard.
But when they forced the runoff, the media went crazy. It's like, this shows how weak he is, how much the Democrats are going to take that. But when they went one-on-one, they couldn't carry the state.
Now, here's the more important question. And the more important question is, what's at the root of it? Do the Democrats have a Pelosi, Schumer, Hollywood problem?
Well, they definitely have a Hollywood problem.
I mean, when you look at Johnny Depp, who still can't get over trying to be Keith Richards. I mean, he's doing like a press conference. He's got the makeup like Keith. You know, maybe you should see a psychiatrist. I can understand you wanted to emulate him for a movie. That's fine. But you're not Keith Richards. Please stop it. Make it stop. So you have Johnny Depp, another genius intellect from Hollywood. Oh, by the way, high school dropout, telling us, you know, what he's going to do, how he hates the administration, and then going so far as saying he wanted to assassinate Trump.
Right.
If it was the other way around, a conservative, the press would be going nuts.
They'd have been up in arms. They'd have been up in arms over him. They'd have been up in arms over Kathy Griffin's holding the bloody head
Donald Trump. Let's get into this for a second. This is interesting. Okay, forget about the politics. In this case, girl genius, Kathy Griffin, right? Who advised her that would go over well?
I have no idea.
Now, I don't care if you like Trump or not. It has nothing to do with Trump.
I have to say, I'm a fan of Kathy Griffin. I've seen her stand up. She can be very funny. I saw this and I'm like, I can't imagine the thought process going, I know what we should do. Let's hold a bloody head.
Jesus.
Doesn't even matter whose head it is. It's like, what are you thinking?
Exactly. Now, if it was a caricature of something, nothing bloody. I'm saying, obviously anti-Trump, whatever, him in a character, a cartoon figure of him slipping on a banana peel,
right,
going off a cliff, whatever. That's all funny.
Even if all she had done is hold a bloody toupee.
There you go.
That would have been fine, and she wouldn't have gotten in this trouble. But when you take that final step, you're showing his head.
That's bad.
What were you thinking?
So then Johnny Depp, who was rambling on, I was listening to him on, I think it was CNN, with his assassination thing. Yeah. First of all, he's incoherent. Yeah, I think he's trying to emulate Keith Richards too much, I think, with drugs, because I didn't even know what the heck he was talking about. And again, as an aside, don't you think Pirates of the Caribbean 10 now, isn't that time to just make it stop already? Please.
It's time to stop, but the problem is, I think
it makes money.
It makes money. That's why Disney keeps
doing
it.
And he's bankrupt, another boy genius.
But Depp is trying to keep those going because those are the only movies he's in that anybody goes to see.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, he's bankrupt, the boy genius.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right. 860-685-7700, 685-7700. You can call in, join the discussion, talk about what we've been discussing. Democratic Party, is it adrift? Is this just a temporary little spin out, or do they have major problems? Dr. Lopkin, I think they have major problems. I think, okay, people do not like Trump, but I think they dislike, beyond the politics, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, but Nancy Pelosi in particular, is maybe the most unlikable person you could ever put up there.
Yeah, she's incredibly shrill.
Ugh,
she gets
an
up
elitist.
There.
It's like you could tell she's going to a vineyard, you know, in right. Napa Valley. Is so out of touch, and it shows.
And the hypocrisy is crazy. She's out there complaining. Well, the Republicans didn't let them see what was in the bill. She's the one that said about Obamacare, we have to pass it to see what's in it.
When she talks, she has about a minute that can she be on target and coherent. She's like, I don't know if it's age or she's just, she's always that dumb, but my God, that's a spokesperson for a party? And then Chucky Schumer, he's about as genuine and sincere as I can't imagine what. I mean, a total, the crying. And oh, stop it, well, Chucky.
I don't know what's gotten into Schumer. Again, Chuck Schumer was my state assemblyman when I was growing up. He would come to the schools. He would be active in the community. And now I look at him, and it seems that he has completely forgotten where he came
from.
But
isn't that beyond Chuck Schumer? Isn't that like Larson? Okay, Larson. Right. Talk about taking up space. You're a bright guy, Dr. Lapkin. Could you please tell me one initiative, piece of legislation, articulate thought that John Larson has put together? No, seriously. It's been 20 years.
I can't think of one, but In his, well, I don't know if this is really in his defense, but I can't name a piece of legislation that any member of the Connecticut legislature has put forward.
Oh, no.
We have five Democratic congresspeople who have been absolutely useless.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is because, I don't know, and by the other hand, the Republican Party, we've had people, I forgot who the new guy is, who cares? It's like a revolving door. Inept. Okay, they're going against Malloy. Who do they put? Foley, the only person that could lose to him.
Right.
Good job. Excellent job. And then they're so delusional. Like, I've had them on the show, and it's like First District or something. I go, so who you got? You know, or against Blumenthal. Who are you going to run against Blumenthal? So, who's the guy from CNBC? I forgot. He was thinking about running.
Yeah, Larry Kudlow.
Yeah. Could have made an impact. I'm not saying he could have won, but he could have made an
impact.
Kudlow
would have been great. Yeah. I happen to have a lot of respect for him.
So who do we have? We have like Billy Bob. I don't even know who he was. Like John Johnson. Who knows? He was like a painter or something, right? And I'm like, I said to him, don't you think you need to do something different? He goes, oh, no, John's a great guy. Like, I know a lot of great guys have beers with. That doesn't mean
they're... Right, doesn't mean I want them in our government.
No.
The basic problem with the Connecticut nominating process...
It's gerrymandering.
It's gerrymandered, certainly. But what happens is, once the people throw their hats in the ring, the Republican Party looks at all of them and says, okay, which of them can bring more money. That's it. That's the only qualification they're looking at.
For the Republicans.
For the Republicans and for the race in general. It's just, who can bring more money to
it? Can you tell me, okay, you live in this district, Rosa DeLauria, could you please tell me, first of all, I think she's more left-wing than Nancy Pelosi. Pretty much a radical, I think, right? A communist. A socialist, at least.
Rosa DeLauro is congresswoman for one reason and one reason only. Her father had the position before her.
There you go.
That's it.
Has she ever done anything for Middletown?
Nothing.
Okay. Has she ever done anything for Connecticut?
As far as I can tell, the only thing she's accomplished in the entire time I have lived in this state is getting a statue dedicated to her father in New Haven.
Nice.
That's it.
I wonder if a listener would like to comment on our congressional bench in Connecticut, 860-685-7700, 685-7700. It'd be nice to hear from someone that's either not really digging Rosa or digging her. You know, someone that maybe would say, oh, she's really great, or someone that's saying, you know, we need someone else. How long has she been in this position?
I honestly don't know. I moved to Connecticut in 2002. She was already in office.
I think she's been there for at least 30 years.
It's possible. I don't know how long she's been there, but it's way too long at this point.
Yes.
I have always been an advocate for term limits, and our Connecticut legislatures are living examples of why.
I think, for instance, I got to be honest with you. I'm actually, okay, so my Victor All against Larson is not just based on policies. I'm jealous. Where do you get a job like that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how do you do nothing forever,
and you keep getting paid.
Just, wow, I am so jealous. You just hang out.
And let's not forget that when these people do leave their positions, they continue to get their salary for the rest of their lives. Yeah, that's their pension.
And health care. So how is America that much different than a third world country in terms of politically?
At this point, it really isn't.
I mean, you get hacks. You get politicians enhancing their own power base at the expense. Because let's just get right down to brass tacks, Dr. Lopkin. Over the last at least 50 years, you'd have to say, from our government, gross negligence.
Oh, easily.
Okay, because $20 trillion in debt, there's no sense of a strategy. Look at immigration. Can you tell me a coherent strategy on immigration?
There's no coherent strategy on any issue. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. The Republicans don't have a real strategy. The Democrats don't have a real strategy. I mean, this is people looking out for their own jobs.
That's exactly
and nothing
what
else.
860-685-7700. 685-7700. If you wish to comment, do you think, number one, the Democratic Party is adrift? And number two, do you think that our politicians, political class, are solely looking out for themselves? Even fake outrage. Now, Trump's the president, I understand, so I'm not going to get into how good or bad he is. But the fake outrage by some politicians, not to move an agenda, but to enhance their own power base. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah, that's all it is. I mean, Senator Blumenthal is a perfect example of this. He doesn't have a strategy for anything, and yet he never passes up an opportunity to get his face in front of a camera. That's all he's interested in, is being in front of a crowd.
But that's what he's done his whole life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when he was Attorney General of Connecticut, all he would do is do everything he could. Basically, Connecticut's got its own problems in terms of attracting business. He was another nail in the coffin because he was the sewer in chief.
That's it. That was all he could do. It's like, oh, that's it. We're going to sue. That's it. We're going to sue. And last week in the Senate, he joined another lawsuit. They're suing Trump. Like, that's all
he can. Suing Trump for what?
They're suing Trump because they feel his business interests disqualified him from being president because it's a conflict.
Oh,
the problem is none of these people understand business.
Well, no, Mr. Blumenthal has never worked a day in his life. No.
Most politicians never have.
He's not a person, a figure of the people. He grew up, he's a multimillionaire. He never had, his father was. He had never worked a day in his life, went to some preppy school, and sat his butt in a chair and became attorney general. He has no vision. He doesn't even know what the heck's going on.
He doesn't have a clue, because this is what's become of politics. Again, and this is true for both sides.
Parties, yes.
The best and the brightest don't go into politics.
No doubt. In fact, you look at Trump, and it's not about how good or bad he is. Why would any accomplished business person ever, you're going to be ripped to shreds.
Right. I was amazed. I honestly, and I said this to a number of people, when he joined the race, I thought it was a publicity stunt. I never thought he would go through with it because I couldn't imagine why he would want to.
I would agree. I actually think it was. And I think he was shocked that he won. Not won, that he was beginning to win. I think it was, who did he have? I forgot. Lewandowski. It was all schlock.
Right.
And he came down the escalator. Why would it be a Trump Tower? It was a publicity stunt. And then all of a sudden, the first debate, he tapped into something that America was.
That's it.
I think what he really tapped into, forget about ideology or your political persuasion. I think what Trump tapped into was frustration.
Yes. Yeah,
no, that was it. Yes. It wasn't a grand strategy. It wasn't I think a couple of things. Immigration, and here's what I think about immigration or why it resonated. Because the open door policy of America, the Democrats and liberals, and also the Republicans, it's not about being humane. It's about economics. It's the
right.
It's the Better Business Bureau for the Republicans, and it's corporate America and other special interests for the Democrats. Plus, the Democrats have the further enticement, knowing that it helps them politically. But it's not about middle America. People thought, the average person said, we're losing our country.
Yes. And the Democrats knew this. Remember, during Bill Clinton's campaign, his whole thing was, it's the economy, stupid.
Yes. So,
and they lost their way.
That's an interesting comment, Dr. Lopkin. 860-685-7700. 685-7700. That bit of information, that factoid you just conveyed, is hitting the nail right on the head. They used to be a party of economic populism.
Right.
Now they're basically identity politics, and almost a screeching vernacular that does not resonate with the average person. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I think that is a fair assessment.
And it is a screeching vernacular.
I honestly think what happened was the economy went in a direction that they could not understand.
When?
In the late 90s. It happened during the Clinton administration with the dot-coms. Because when things started going that way, when all of a sudden anybody could come up with an idea and get funded, and then we had a recession, we had 9/11, the economy took a hit.
A little hit, yes.
But then you started seeing the sharing economy. Companies like Uber, like Airbnb, where people are creating their own jobs. And the Democrats could not understand this. Because if you take a look, everything that Bernie Sanders was talking about, everything Hillary Clinton was talking about, was trying to bring the economy back to the way it was done before Bill Clinton. They don't understand changes.
Bernie Sanders, I don't think, knows anything about economics.
Well, Bernie, I think, was trying to bring us back to 1950.
Yes. Yeah. 1950 Soviet Russia.
Yeah.
Now, I think that is interesting as well. I think that in terms of power people for the Democratic Party, I think Andrew Cuomo, in other words, the point is that Sanders and Warren are tempests in a teapot. So what do you think of that?
They really are. I mean, their idea is it has to be more and more progressive, more and more progressive. And all that does is alienate middle America more. Andrew Cuomo is more centrist. In fact, we were talking, Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, is very much to the left, and Andrew Cuomo keeps smacking him down because what he wants is not good for the city, not good for the state. Cuomo knows he's got to bring it back to the center.
Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, my question was, are the polls saying that Trump is unpopular, the same ones that said he wasn't going to win, and the same ones that are saying that the Republicans are going to lose and they keep winning?
Well, that's an interesting point. I want you, because to me, I'm more like, I know I'm naive, don't beat me up on this. I kind of have a feeling sometimes the polls are right, but I think you have a good point. Then we'll throw it out to Lopkin. So because it doesn't make any sense. They've lost, the Democrats have lost five in a row, and they keep on talking about, Trump's lack of popularity. Do you think it's fake news?
Now, I think the caller has
the caller. Let's hear what the caller has to say. Do you think it's fake news, caller?
That was my only good thinking point. Everyone else calls it alternative news. You can find anything you want to support what you want. For example, Trump said he thought about Russia. Now everybody's saying it was because of Russia that he did what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He just said it was one of the things he thought about.
Now, let me ask you, caller, since we have you on the line, do you think, look at the current state of the Democratic Party, Do you think they're adrift? Do you think they have a Pelosi, Schumer, and Hollywood problem that's just totally separate from mainstream America? And if so, do you think they can ever reel this back?
On that, I don't know. I do know that it's a lot easier to tell people what you're against than what you're for, and that seems to be what we get a lot of.
And isn't it what I like that? Isn't that their low-hanging fruit? Because you're right, it's easy. Lopkin talked about that. I think the caller has a great point that, yes, you don't have really have a program. You're a fragmented party. What do you got?
The caller is absolutely right. It is much easier to talk about what you're against rather than actually coming
up
with
a plan. But what happens in the long term, Lopkin?
In the long term, you end up losing out. And we've seen it time and time again, not just with the Democrats. The Republicans went through this, too. They went through everything was against, and they didn't have a coherent plan, and they fell apart, and we ended up with Obama. And now you're seeing it on the other side. And it seems to be cyclical, because both parties, all they seem to be able to do is argue.
Well, call, good point. Caller, where do you think this... Put on your thinking cap and see, where do you think this whole thing plays out? I think, here's what I really believe. I think the Democrats lose the midterms big time, and then there's a whole house cleaning. What do you think?
I think the same.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real come to Jesus moment. I think that they just can't get it together. The identity politics, that gun is out of bullets. No one cares when you're unemployed about, you know, what they're doing, separating one against the other. I think it's a strategy actually that did work, but is out of gas. Thank you so much for the call.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Yep. Don't you? What do you think about that, Lopkin? We invite other callers to join the discussion at 860-685-7700, 685-7700. Is identity politics a gun that's ran out of bullets?
It really has. But before we do that, I want to go back to what the caller said initially with, is Trump's approval rating really that low? Because it is the same pollsters that said he couldn't win. And the problem with these polls is that the Trump supporters, the audience that got him into the White House, don't trust the media. They don't trust the pollsters, so they don't answer the phone calls. So since they're not
being... So it's skewed that way, as you're saying.
So since they're not being counted, we really don't know how high or low his approval rating is.
That's interesting, because you look at the runoff election in Georgia... That was a foregone. Remember, they were licking their chops. The polls were looking bad, and what happened? She lost. She won by a bigger margin.
Yeah, the Democrats were sure they had Georgia won. They poured tons of money into it. The polls said that they were going to win it, and they lost by a larger margin than anybody thought was going to happen, because these people don't trust the media anymore. And it's not just that, is the media honest or is the media covering fake news? It's just as much about what the media doesn't cover as what it does.
What do you think? What do you mean by doesn't cover?
Well, take the Georgia election, for example. When the Democrat was in charge, looking to win, the media was all over it. They covered it. They were everywhere. As soon as the Republican won, I mean, we were talking about this before we went on the air. CNN basically went, and the Republican has won Georgia, and moved on to the next story. It happens all the time. Stories that are of interest to middle America don't get covered.
Yeah, but isn't it like inbreeding? Isn't the, let's say, liberal wing of the Democratic Party in the media, they go to the same schools, they go to the same cocktail parties. They have an aversion to middle America. Those are the unwashed white
really
trash.
There's a great book called Bias, written by a former CBS News staffer. And he talks about how generation after generation of reporters at CBS News became more and more liberal because people just kept hiring people that were just like them.
Yeah, I mean, I find it amazing. Like, you know, for instance, the midterm election in Georgia, that's fine. You know, they had this whole podium set up for Trump's demise. It didn't happen. They literally
shut it off, and went to something complete in a minute.
Right.
No, no. And forget about if you're a Democrat or Republican. That's the news business not doing their job.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're being disingenuous.
And it's even a matter of how they phrase things. The Congressional Budget Office came out with their evaluation of the House's health plan. And they said, and I don't remember the number, but it was like 23 million people would no longer have health coverage. And the news reported it as 23 million people will lose their coverage.
Didn't lose.
But that's not what the report said.
No, those people don't have it now.
Well, no. These were people that have it. Oh. But the CBO said without the mandate, these people are not going to renew. They're going to say they don't want it. That's not the same as losing it. Losing it means you want it and can't, and it's taken away from you.
But do you think that Republicans are playing a bad hand? By the way, you can comment on our complete discussion, state of the political landscape in America, our stellar congressional team in Connecticut. You can call us at 860-685-7700, 685-7700. And by the way, the views on the Buzz are not the views of Wesleyan University or WESU. I don't know. Did the Republicans, was that a misstep? Wouldn't it have been better to let Obamacare implode on its own and then pick up the pieces? Because now the Democrats, the Democrats, Schumer, all the usual suspects are waxing nostalgically about the great virtues of Obamacare, and the press is picking up on that narrative.
Politically, it would have been better for them. Practically, they couldn't do it.
Why?
Because it screws up the rest of their agenda. The way Obama set up Obamacare is there were a lot of taxes in the Obamacare bill. The Republicans want to do tax reform. They can't get to tax reform until they get rid of the stuff from Obamacare.
So what happens with the four holdouts? The Republicans that they need.
I think they're going to come around.
I do.
I think they have to.
It's political suicide.
They know full well that the Republicans got into office based on the promise to repeal Obamacare. If they hold it up,
is it political suicide for them?
It is. It really is.
It's political. Rand Paul, goodbye. Now, I like what they're doing. That's gutsy. That's got chutzpah. You know, negotiate a better deal. But if you walk away, and I have a problem with Republican ideologues, these, ultra conservatives. Oh, everything's not perfectly pure. Shut up already.
The ultra right is no better than the ultra left. You can't live in
The ultra right is better than the ultra left because the ultra right does not cost me money.
Well, okay. All right, I'll give
there you
that. Yes.
Okay, ultra right cost me a fortune. There you go. So what do you think of the caller and our discussion about the midterms coming up in, 15 months, something like that? I believe that it's going to be fascinating. I think the Democrats, I really do, are going to take another one on the chin.
I think they are. I don't know that it'll be a big blowout, but I think they will lose.
Oh, I think here's why I think it's going to be.
The Trump supporters are not switching, no matter what you see in the media, no matter what the Democrats are trying, anytime they talk to Trump supporters, they're still supporting them. They're not going anywhere.
But let's talk about the state of, here's what it really boils down to. If the economy's doing well, if Obamacare's been repealed and replaced, if things are moving in a good direction, it's over because many of the seats are incumbent seats that are Republican incumbent seats that Trump won by a large measure. So my point, and I want to get our listeners involved in this as well, 860-685-7700, 685-7700. I'm going to assume that this is going to happen, Lopkin. I respectfully disagree with you. I think it could be a shellacking. Because there's no message. It's shrill politics.
There's no mention. It all depends on people's wallets.
Exactly.
If their wallets have gotten fatter, the Democrats are done.
Okay, so what happens if that happens?
If that happens,
what happens to the Democratic Party?
They have to
Do they go left? Do they go right?
If they're smart, they go more
but
right.
But what do you think they do? Smart is another issue.
Honestly, I don't know. There are a group of them that are trying to push them to the center.
Yeah, but they're being marginalized. They're demonized by the party.
They're demonized, but realistically, you've got those on the far left, you know, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren.
Wait, do you let me interject one thing. Do you agree with my assertion? I know we talked a little bit, but let's revisit that they're the tempests in the teapots. They had their moment of they were the one-hit wonders.
Yeah, they're done.
They're done. They're and you can even see it slipping away. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is increasingly becoming less relevant. Do you agree with that?
I think they're incredible. Their relevance was manufactured. They were never truly relevant. And what you're seeing is the Democrats are starting to realize that they need to reach out to the common man. I mean, Chris Murphy, who I have never agreed with, but he was on Morning Joe this week, finally said something I agreed with that said the Democrats have to stop with this Russia stuff, have to stop with this the ideology, and focus on an economic plan.
I agree. Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What do you say?
I say you guys are so far out of touch with reality with all this talk about left and right.
Okay.
As though there are really people out there with political ideologies that they're pushing besides the corporate agenda that both sides buy into.
Okay,
the Obamacare that you're ranting on about was created.
Wait, can you repeat that? We didn't hear you.
We lost the signal. Oh, well. No. Okay, well, we invite our caller to call back at any time. We're not blowing you off. We got no choice. It lost the signal. He said, so he's talking about the corporate. So he's saying that both parties are really in the hands of corporate America. What would you say about that, Dr. Lopkin?
I don't think that's any surprise to anybody.
I think I agree with the caller on that. I think they're both in the hands. And I think, and this is not a show if Trump's good or bad. We're not doing that anymore. I believe that maybe he's the wrong messenger, but I think anyone that was independent going against the entrenched corporate ideology and special interests would have been, it's a coup attempt with Trump, with these trumped up charges, no pun intended. And I think any independent would have been ravaged the same. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Because they want to change things.
It's the same reason Sanders did so well in the primaries, is because people wanted something different. They didn't want the mainstream Democrat and Republican candidates
anymore.
What
do you think Bernie's real? Why did he resonate? Because he was a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
The 1%, the top. I mean, and even the New York Times, believe it or not, when they interviewed him, were aghast on how ill-prepared he. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's nothing there. He didn't know anything.
Look at the people he resonated with. He resonated with people right out of college students.
Now, I see a lot of Bernie stickers with middle-aged people.
Yeah, there's some middle-aged people, but it was all about talking to people who felt they weren't getting their fair share.
Let me elaborate on that a little bit, because I think you're right about it. It was skewed, obviously, to the youth. But the youth are products of the Obama administration. So being, let's say, more of a socialist agenda, those types of ideologies, they grew up with. So
right.
Don't you think they would have a natural inclination for Bernie? Hear me out. I grew up with Reagan, meaning high school / college. And, college. I actually witnessed the change in America from liberal to conservative. I'm not talking about overall. I'm talking about with young people. It was finally cool to get a job, to be successful, yada, yada, yada. You understand?
Right.
So
I think Alex P. Keaton.
Yes, exactly. Do you not think that the youth are products of Obama? And if Trump's economy improves and these people get real jobs, this whole thing could be an afterthought, meaning the Obama's / Bernie agendas.
It all goes away. As soon as these folks have money in their pockets, that is what every election comes down to. Do the people have money in their pockets?
But don't you think with the Occupy Wall Street and the collapse of 08 that prosperity capitalism was demonized? Don't you think that's...
Oh, absolutely
it
was.
And the afterglow was the Bernie Sanders, Warren, and Obama obviously ascended to the presidency on the back of the great collapse. Don't you agree?
Certainly he did. When the banks did what they did, first of all, people don't understand how half the things the banks do works anyway. So you take that mystery, that black box, and all they know is they're not getting theirs. Oh, somebody made money on this, but I didn't. And that's
But how
all
come they don't
they
blame the
on.
People that caused them their demise? Meaning, let's say a young person now, let's say 25, and I taught college, I still teach college, when I was teaching back in 08 and 09, you have college, I mean, it was a disaster getting a job.
Oh, yeah.
So these people might be not, I never like to say permanently, let's just say nothing temporarily.
Nothing is permanent.
But yes, so displaced for a period of time because they've lost that, you know how you, when you graduated college, you wanted that first big job, right?
You're right.
They didn't get it. So they're now in the ranks of the displaced, and I think that's why they resonate with Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and wax nostalgically about Obama.
Right,
do you agree?
Because they were still brought up on that old American myth. You go to college, you get the job, and then they did all of that. They went through their schooling. They went to college. They paid big bucks to get a college
and got
degree
in debt
and walked out and got nothing for it.
Now, let me, that opens up a bigger question, by the way, 860. And we invite our last caller. We did not cut you off. Really, we just lost you. 860-685-7700. 685-7700. I teach college, and I'm not so sure. I think the whole college scheme, the whole prism is actually going to be, it's a model ripe for change.
Oh, certainly. It has to change because people are coming out of college thinking, oh, my education allows me to do higher level work, to get into right into management, all of this. And the fact of the matter is, you need to go, you know, in the old days, you started your career in the mailroom because that was where you learned how the company worked. And the fact of the matter is, I've said it over and over again, they're in theory and practice are the same. In practice, they aren't. In school, you learn theory. When you have the job, you learn how everything applies in practice.
Well, a good thing, our caller that, I guess, you know, maybe was on Horizon. I'm not picking on the carrier. Who knows? So, but I welcome him back. Welcome back, caller.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome
Hello?
Back. Welcome back. Oh, boy.
Something's going wrong with that phone.
I'm sorry to hear that. That sucks. I'm really sorry about that.
Please try again.
Last time, just try one
more
time.
One more time.
Yes. You know, he seemed like he had a lot of energy. We like
yes.
that. You know, sound good. But if and when he does, and we invite other callers to call in 860-685-7700, 685-7700. You know, right now we're actually, I think a discussion's awesome. Like, what do you see as the future of college, Dr. Lopkin? I mean, and you think that like guy Mike Rowe, he has a great point that you might be doing better going to trade school.
Right now, he's absolutely right. You are better off
like
going to trade
world,
school.
What the world does not need is another marketing manager, correct?
No. The problem is everything is learning theory. And we've put far too much emphasis on liberal arts memorization. We're not teaching people how to think anymore. We're teaching.
Well, that's where I disagree. I think liberal arts does teach people to think. I think we need more liberal arts. What you don't need is a 4-year business degree because you could.
No one
you
needs could, a 4-year business.
Yeah, you can learn marketing in a weekend. No, seriously.
Yes, you
buy
can.
Low, sell high, promote things, target marketing. Thank you very much. That's $100. And thank you very much. Here's your diploma.
Liberal arts is not teaching them how to think
okay,
anymore.
Okay, but whatever they do, they need to teach kids to think. I think there's another problem with college. Wesleyan is a very, very good school. Okay, very good school. And I think a degree from Wesleyan has merit. Has value. The problem is, it's like anything else in life. Everything boils down to economics. And do you know what economics boils down to? You could have all the theory, everything. It's supply and demand.
Yes.
That's all there is. So what's happening? The supply of college graduates is exponentially growing. Part of the reason, or one reason that I have a problem with is like there was a talk show host and he had a joke, everyone's a college boy. Meaning,
right.
If you can get, you can't get into Wesleyan, I understand that, but you can pretty much anyone can get into college. Am I not correct?
No, you're absolutely right.
And am I not correct with the fact that no one really flunks out of college anymore? You'd have to be like majoring
it's very
in Keith Richards
now.
Studies, okay? You'd have Johnny Depp as your roommate. Right. You might flunk out, okay? Johnny Depp would flunk out because he's just that dumb. But anyone with half a coherent brain is not flunking out. You can flunk out of engineering in quantum mathematics, but to flunk out of a marketing program, that's
right.
pretty difficult.
Nobody's going to flunk out of marketing.
Okay, so then what value does a marketing degree have?
Well, the problem
doesn't have
the value it used to because of what you just said.
But if you get a degree in engineering, quantum mechanics.
Yeah, STEM degrees are still valuable.
That's what I mean. But a degree in marketing, basically, yeah, it's better than nothing. No, it's better than nothing. It is. But what does it really say? It says nothing. You don't have
It doesn't say anything. And at this point, if you leave college and you can't do basic programming, build a website, something like that, then your degree is useless because coding and programming is the new blue-collar work.
Okay. So what should colleges do? First of all, colleges, and I think it happened when I went to college, that's when it started transforming, became something of a public service. Well, just hear me out before a public service that was relegated to people that really had a particular aptitude. Now it's a big business, and the viable population of college, the pool of potential college graduates or entrants are declining. The big bubble was like 08. That now it's starting to, and even back then. So too many supply and demand again. Too many colleges, too few applicants. Everyone gets in. Not to Wesleyan, not to Harvard, not to Yale, but everyone gets into whatever college you want, the C and B in players, right? And therefore, there's a flood of marketing and management.
Exactly.
And I disagree with you, I would much rather hire someone who has a liberal arts degree from a good school because I just want critical thinking. I can teach someone marketing, like I said, in a week.
No, I want someone with a STEM degree. I want them knowing science, engineering, technology, math.
I agree with that part.
Because those are things you have to be able to think to grasp them. You have to see.
Tell me the truth. Would you rather have a 2-year degree in STEM from like Tunxus Community College or a 4-year from Central in marketing? Answer that question.
Oh, I'd certainly rather have a 2-year degree in STEM. The fact of the matter is, when you're learning, especially physics and engineering, I talk about a lot, you're learning how things fit together and cause and effect. And when that's what you're learning, you can apply that to anything.
Well, we do have a call, and I think we dropped a call, hopefully.
Oh, no.
Oh, we didn't drop the other guy. Oh, my God. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm on a landline, and I'm on a Western Electric phone. So
nice.
There we go.
There you go.
You're going to be able to hear me instead of the modern equivalent.
We apologize.
It's not your fault that the cell phone technology is as bad as it is.
So what say you, my friend? And by the way, we're missing a call. We had a couple of new callers while we're waiting. We invite them after this call to chime in. Caller, what say you?
Well, I have an associate's degree that I got in 1978 in information technology data processing at the time, and it was great. I think I paid a total of about $2,500 in a state school for it. It's a shame, but it doesn't seem like that's ever going to come around again.
What do you mean, come around?
Well, right now, as one of the guys just said, everyone should be coding, but it's not like a specialization. There's no real huge market for data processing anymore, and what they're doing is going
offshoring, right?
Offshore, yep. Exactly.
Now, let me ask you a question about offshoring. We talked about the incompetency of our congressional and our political class, both nationally and in particular Connecticut. Don't you think, isn't it indicative of the fact that they're not working for you and I? When you have people like you or someone else looking for jobs, don't you consider it a gross incompetency and negligence to be encouraging offshoring? Who are they working for, you or corporate America?
They're working for corporate America, definitely.
So why is it that the same usual suspects, the same clowns, get reelected, like Rosa DeLauro, right? Name me, has she ever created a job? Has she ever had an initiative to get people working? No, but she'll be elected forever,
well,
correct?
The corporations think they're doing okay, so they keep giving them the money to get reelected again.
Do you know what's interesting to me? When I was going for my MBA, the professor at the time said at one time, corporate America and America were one and the same, meaning they were patriotic. This
right.
is 30
yep.
years ago.
Yep.
Now, corporate America has no allegiance to America. It's all globalized. And if you want, and our political class is at their beck and call at our expense, aren't they?
It certainly looks that way. They have more input to it than we do with our one little vote, which may or may not count depending on
exactly
which direction you're voting in.
Aren't you PO'd at both parties? I mean, don't you think they look at where they brought us over the last so-called the best and the brightest, the Harvard intelligentsia? Pretty bad, isn't it?
Definitely.
I have to drop you, but great call, Eric. Great caller. Don't you agree?
Absolutely, it's been fantastic, and you know we're saying. Data processing back in the 70s was a major thing. And again, he didn't have to go into debt to get his degree, and it served him well. We don't have that anymore. You're going into debt for degrees that don't matter now.
Not a good combination. We have a caller. Caller, you there? You might be the last caller. What say you?
Yes. I think it's a failure of our higher educational system. From my observation, those schools are teaching people to serve. Instead of teaching them to come out to create a job, they're teaching them to serve.
Whoa, wait.
Absolutely right.
No, that's a great. No, hold on. Aren't they fighting the last war? Like,
yes.
They're teaching like it's 1965 when, guess what? It's 2017. Caller, do you agree?
Absolutely. And instead of teaching them to serve, they should be teaching them how to become entrepreneurs and create jobs.
Absolutely.
But you have professors that have never created anything but BS. How can they possibly teach entrepreneurship? They wouldn't know how to spell it.
Absolutely. Because if you come out of college and you can't find a job, your natural instinct should tell you, go out and create a job.
Yeah, I agree with you. Creating dependency in today's world is teaching suicide. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're screwed. Isn't that true?
Right, because I saw something that was interesting, and this is a microcosm of things. I saw a guy who was pushing a grocery cart filled with cans. Now, that man couldn't find a job, but he created a job. He created that job out of necessity. Now, I'm not saying everybody should do that, but it just taught me a lesson that if you don't have a job, go out to create one.
Yeah, but don't we have now, with especially, I'm not going to... With the last administration, they didn't have that attitude. They had the more of the victimization, didn't they? That you don't have a job. Someone like Eric was saying, the big cats. Someone else got your job. You need to take it from them. Wasn't that the real attitude?
Oh, absolutely. It's teaching people one thing that's wrong. One thing that's wrong is simply saying you should blame people who have created something, who have earned and. I live in, no matter how much they make, these people.
But during the last 2012 election, Romney, who didn't have the chutzpah to fight back, he was demonized and didn't come out punching because he was rich. He should have said, yeah, I'm rich because I'm smart and successful.
Well, he should have been honest. He said, I worked hard for it. I committed myself to it. And yeah, I'm earning the profits from it.
But you know something? Right. I believe Trump was accurate. Romney choked. Great caller. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Do you agree with that Lopkin final thought that Romney did choke?
Oh, he certainly choked.
He had Obama against the ropes after the first debate, and he choked. Lopkin, great show. I thought great dialogue. I thought at the end we really got good caller. Sorry about the callers we dropped, and sorry that of that one particular one. We did not diss you. And we invite you to call back at any time. But I thought it was a great show. And thank you, Dr. Lopkin.
Always great being here.
We'll be back next week with another exciting edition of The Buzz.